Welcome back. Always good to hear from Dan Walters. That was a great segment. And we have, I don't know why, who placed the porta potty in the lobby of the studio? I know we heard that controversy down at De La Guerra Plaza. When I first read about that, I was wondering how that could have happened. And then I commented on it last week. And then after the program, I read that it was a poor Tony Ray's Mexican restaurant that's on the loop there in De La Guerra Plaza. He doesn't front State Street. That is his front door. And he's the guy that ordered it. And when I heard that, I kind of understood and felt sorry for him. I don't think that that was the solution, but I understand he's got a problem. Because people without that are kind of doing it in front of his restaurant. That's a great little restaurant. You get a beautiful view of City Hall, of the News Press building, the mountains. He's got a little patio out there. It's a quality food. Horrible name. He named it after Tony and Ray. That's the son and the father. So he decided to honor his father. Great intentions. But Tony Ray's sounds like a rib joint, not a quality, authentic Mexican restaurant, which is what it is. So despite the name Tony Ray's, you should check it out and see what happens there at De La Guerra Plaza. I thought it would have been really nice if they had allowed those people who were going to do that special event. They had booked the plaza 6 months ago and paid $500, and they were forced to relocate, I guess, to another venue, the courthouse. And it just would have been a nice gesture for them to say, okay, you know what, we'll form a ring around this place, we'll let you have your thing for a couple hours, but yeah, whatever. So we have a tax credit. You remember last year, we had a tax credit expiring, and people were saying that sales were increasing. People were wanting to get this first-time home buyer's credit. And we did notice, and I did study, a flurry of sales, a closing. You had to close by a certain date at the end of the month. But what was interesting, at least in Santa Barbara here on the South Coast, from Carp to Goleta, the majority of things that sold weren't qualifying because it had to be under a certain dollar amount. Now, of course, this year, our median price is lower. We have many more properties selling in the low end. But last year, the fact is, the median price was still low, and I don't think it's that dramatic of a difference. There were plenty of properties selling in the low end in 2010. But it just happened right up the run-up of closings right prior to the expiration of this first-time buyer's credit. Actually, most of the homes were not even qualifying for that. But be that as it may, that doesn't really mean that much. This first-time homebuyer's credit started with first-time homeowners only, and it started at $7,500. And then it went to $8,000. And then it kind of included, you know, not only first-time buyers, but maybe if you didn't own a home within the last 3 years. You know, they were trying to include people, but then it was like if you owned a home but you didn't like the color, the house paint. You know, they kind of stretched it a little. They didn't go that far. You know, if you had a home but you never had a front-loading washing machine, you would qualify. So it's caused a real IRS quagmire. And that's giggity, giggity, quagmire, giggity, giggity. And what's happening is it was designed to deliver, you know, a jolt to the housing industry. A lot of people said they did. More than 4 million people applied for and received nearly $30 billion worth of this tax credit. However, a series of audits by the IRS and the Treasury's Inspector General for Tax Administration has documented foul-ups by the IRS, including, yeah, can you believe that? I can't, this must be a first, including credits granted, thanks for having the studio audience, that kind of helps, appreciate that, Richard, including credits granted to prison inmates and dead people. Fraud schemes involving claimants who never bought a house, and even credits for alleged home purchases by teenagers and children as young as 3. You'd think I was like making this up. I think the Civil Liberties Union is going to try to defend the dead people and people in prison, saying they have a right to get the IRS credit even if they didn't buy a house. American Civil Liberties Union. But by far the most commonplace, according to the auditors, were shortcomings distinguishing between taxpayers who were supposed to repay their credit over a 15-year period. That was the original $7,500 program You had to pay it back over 15 years. What's 15 into 7,500? Can't be too bad. Not very much. And $500? That sounds right. $500 a year, you pay it back. And then there were people who had no such requirement under later versions of the program, and they were getting $8,000. The IRS also had trouble determining whether recipients of the non-repayable credit might have violated rules by selling their homes before the 3 years of required residency and earning a profit on the sale. I don't know how many too many people were flipping their homes and making a profit on the sale. That wasn't happening too much. But they, if nothing else, they got the credit. And they did, part of the requirements was they had to live in the home for 3 years. So it was a joke at first, because at first, well, here's the continue on. A new audit has turned up still more home buyers problems. They had sent out these notices, the IRS, incorrect notices to thousands of taxpayers that either informed them that they owe no repayment on their credit when they actually do, or they've been demanding repayments from recipients who legally owe nothing. So, you know, and so the latest audit found that over $61,000 homeowners were sent erroneous notices. And this included over 27,000 who bought homes under the non-repayable program but were told to send in payments. So remember the distinction. The first part, you got a credit of $7,500. You had to pay it back over 15 years. Second part, $8,000 credit. You didn't have to pay it back. So they're sending the wrong notices to the different people. Over 12,000 people who received the 2008 version of the credit, which was essentially an interest-free loan, but were told no repayments are due. I thought that we just said that. 832 dead people were asked for repayments on their credits, despite the fact that the law waives any repayment requirements for deceased taxpayers. That's the best way to really, you know, get out of owing the IRS money, is you die. But the question was, were they dead? Did they die after they received the credit, or did they were dead? Did they receive the credit, you know, when they were already dead? It seems like people were using dead people's names to an additional 18,000 owners who were supposed to receive notices of repayments were never sent them. A key contributor to the IRS early snafu, I love that word. You don't see that too often. The other word? What was the other word? Giggity? Oh, no, there was something on top of that. Quagmire. And if you can spell snafu, you're better than I am. A key contributor to the IRS early snafu was that the original version of the credit rules required essentially no documentation of home purchases. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. And I will say that I reported on that a year and a half ago whenever it came out. You want a tax credit? It's like the Steve Martin rule. You know, you want to get how to get $1 million and not pay any taxes. First, get $1 million. Then don't pay any taxes. And when the IRS knocks on your door and says, hey, you got $1 million, you didn't pay any taxes, say, I forgot. That's Steve Martin's. And it's a joke. How could they? No documentation. These erroneous credits might have been denied if documentation requirements were in place. Gee, do you think? In the meantime, if you're one of the estimated million-plus tax buyers in the categories here, watch for the notices coming from the IRS. If you get an official demand for a credit repayment that you know is wrong, don't sweat it. Say you forgot. No, just talk to a tax advisor. Get it straightened out. So there you go. If you receive a tax, if you were part of that tax buyer's credit and you receive something that you don't think is right, it probably isn't right. Mark Schneibman's Radio Real Estate. RadioRealEstate.com, 452-2428, 452-CHAT. Stay tuned, unless you've got something better to do.